Today's passage is from Acts 2, and it is from 41 to 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread and in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. I'm just going to pray as well for Tim and for us here. Don't want to forget that. It's very important. So, yes, just Lord, we're so grateful for you. We're so thankful for your love for us and that you want to teach us and that you want to add to those numbers daily, Lord. We pray that you would just bless the message that Tim has to share with us now. We just thank you so much for the spirit that you've put into him and for his wisdom and sharing the word with us. Lord, we pray that you would just bless it to our hearts now. We pray that we would learn something new from you, that we can come out from today taking a new part of what you want us to receive today, Lord. That there's something that you want every single one of us to have learned today. And we really pray that you'd give us the open hearts to receive that. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Morning, everyone. Great to see you. Thank you so much for those who have been praying for me. I had quite a nasty bout of COVID, and I'm nearly better, rather than completely better. Bit of brain fog, so if I'm still preaching at 2, you know, do give me a wave if I've lost my way. I'm really excited about this new series. I love that picture of God being like a father, a parent, who wants to, like we want to give our kids 5 a day. He so wants to give that 9 a day. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And actually what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at each of those fruits and we're going to see how those fruits are worked out in the book of Acts. That's why we're reading Acts this morning. See how love is worked out. See how joy is worked out. See how peace is worked out. How God generously gives. I'm sure many of us long in our own lives to have more love and joy and peace, don't you? I mean, I do. Long for that. Perhaps you'd love your workplace to be somewhere with more patience and kindness and goodness. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Perhaps you long for your home and for your relationships to know more gentleness, to know more faithfulness and self-control. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The Bible says that's exactly what our God wants to give us. God wants to give us these 9 a day, and he wants to give us a life that's described in the book of Galatians as one of freedom and liberty. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And as we turn to the book of Acts, we start to see what that abundant kind of free life actually looks like as this community comes together, the like of which the world has just never seen before. You know, young and old, slave and free, rich and poor, men and women, Jew and Gentile. Those groups just didn't come anywhere near each other. And then all of a sudden, something changes. God comes. Freedom comes. In fact, this is right at the heart of our vision and values as a church, to be free. We long for freedom, to be those who are following Jesus, who are reaching out with his good news, who are genuinely experiencing and showing extended family to one another and doing everything in love. You know, one of the things I've been We've been so encouraged about in the past couple of years during the pandemic is the way so many in Holland Road have shown love and care for one another. You know, when people have been in crisis or there's been difficulties or tragedies, the church has come together and prayed and made meals and offered all kinds of help and love. Even this week, someone was telling me how loved they feel at the moment during a very difficult season. You know, and that love's been extended to those in need in our city as well, hasn't it? You know, with the amazing practicals team work that continues to go on, and our work with the homeless, and a wonderful work with CAP, and do look out for the new CAP video. Just so encouraging to hear stories of people being rescued from debt and having their faith restored. One person says on there, I had lost everything. I had everything, I lost everything, and now because of our CAP work here, he says, I've found my faith again, and I'm learning who I really am. It's just so beautiful. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great that we're part of showing that sort of love to our world? And yet a few weeks ago, someone else, also from our church, told me a very different experience. Told me the experience of kind of living alone for the last 2 years, of feeling deeply isolated, of actually feeling disconnected from God's people. They said they were just longing for someone to touch them. And my heart was actually breaking as this person shared about not feeling loved. You know, and you know, here's the challenge. If you take time to listen, there is beauty and great, wonderful things happening, but there's also a lot of pain, a lot of hurt that people have. You know, the experience of the past couple of years with the pandemic, for many, has not been one of overflowing love, joy, and peace, has it? It's been one of trouble and pain and disconnection. And though outwardly we might look okay, inwardly some of us are really struggling, and we need to be honest about that. That might be you today. You know, you might be wondering, why is it so hard to get what is offered by God? If he really wants to give me these 9 a day, why is that so difficult? Why do I feel so dry and disconnected? Where is this love and joy that is promised? You know, the theologian John Stott, he writes this, that whenever this abundant free life is offered, there is always a warning that it can be easily lost. Easily lost. And in this series, we're going to talk about why this fruit can be so elusive. You know, the church in Galatia, they were struggling. They were actually in danger of kind of losing sight of it all. And so Paul has to come to them and repeatedly tell them, look, this is the heart of it. This is the key to life with God. And so if you look in Galatians 5, you'll see he actually says in a number of different ways. He says this. He says, Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, live by the Spirit. Verse 18, he says, be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. And in our verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. What is the key to this beautiful life? Did anyone get that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Are you living in the Spirit? And you might be thinking, well, I don't even know what that means, to live and walk in step with the Spirit. And our prayer is during this series that we would learn that as a church, and that we would experience more of God's Spirit in our lives, because that's where we experience his power and his fruit is released. How does that happen? Well, it happens first as we get connected. As we get connected, where does fruit come from? Where does fruit come from? Tesco? Abel and Cole? It's not a trick question. You know, fruit comes from trees, doesn't it? You know, without a tree, there's no fruit. You know, if you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you must have God's Spirit's presence there. The challenge is, this isn't as automatic as we'd like, if you hadn't noticed. Yeah, it's not the case that you meet with God and all of a sudden all your problems are gone. You know, every challenge suddenly becomes easy. You know, you just sail through life. You wake up every morning just, oh, I'm so aware of your presence this morning. Or is that just me? It's not as straightforward as that, is it? And you might be thinking, why is it so hard? Why do I feel so empty? And our reading gives us a clue, because our reading begins with the word but. But the fruit of the Spirit's a contrast word. And if we look at what comes before, we see a very different sort of life described. It's a life of kind of no limits. It's a life of sexual immorality and greed and selfishness and anger. People doing whatever they want. It's the total opposite of the picture of Acts 2 that we've just had wonderfully read for us. And we look at that, we see, wow. Well, I don't want to be like that, those people. I want to be like this, these people. And the mistake that people make is they think, oh, well, there's good people over here and there's bad people over there. And what I want to be is I want to be the good people and not with the bad people. But what is being described in Galatians isn't two different people. It's the same people. What's being spoken of in Galatians is not a battle between good and bad people. The place where the battle between good and evil takes place is in the hearts and lives of every single Christian. And you will know that battle. You know, that battle that Galatians describes is between our sinful nature, that's our natural state without God, and the new life of the Spirit. Verse 17 of chapter 5 of Galatians says they are in constant conflict with one another. And Paul is warning that there are two kind of different places that you can connect to in your life. Two kind of different places that you can fuel and feed. One is the sinful nature, and the other is the life of the Spirit. And the biggest challenge, therefore, for our lives, you know, for our workplaces, for our marriage, for our friendships, for our pursuit and love and joy and peace, isn't all those people out there and all the challenges out there. It's the challenge here, in my own heart. It's recognizing our own very real capacity for evil. And if you don't do that, what happens is life is you start pretending. If you kind of live with this false image of good and bad people, you say, well, I want to be the good people. And so you're tempted in that place to say, well, if I'm a good person, I must be good and everything I do must be good. I'm not even going to admit, or I'm just going to cover up anything bad. And what you end up doing is you put on a mask. And we can do this in church, can't we? This is the mistake the Pharisees made. The Pharisees thought they were good. And they just put on these masks and they looked down on others. And that creates a huge problem. Because this battle that takes place not out there but in here, this battle to be connected, is not a battle we can win on our own. And yet so often we live like we can. You know, I've done that. I've sung, you know, Lord, I need you on a Sunday morning. And then lived Monday to the rest of the week like I didn't. You ever done that? Like I can just live without God. And it's a crazy idea. Because this fruit of the Spirit is of the Spirit. It's not from me. It doesn't come from me trying to be better, trying to live an independent life from God. It comes from me being connected to God. The fruit that, look at what it says, Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It doesn't say the fruit of our efforts or the fruit of our goodness. Simply trying to be a loving person, it doesn't work. What we see emerge in Acts 2 is not a people who've tried, you know, decided to try an experiment of communal living, you know, loving one another better, and a camera crew to watch them. You know, it isn't that. It's actually people who've come to the realization that they are utterly useless at loving God and loving others. They've come to the realization, it says earlier in Acts 2, they're cut to the heart. They realize they've completely failed and they've messed up. And here's the kind of irony of being able to live a life of love and this fruit. It is only as you realize you're not connected, it's only actually as you realize that you cannot do this on your own that you can even begin to start to receive what God has for you. And that's what happens in Acts. They discovered that Jesus came not as an example simply to follow, but as a savior who wants to change them from the inside out by the power of his spirit. Being a Christian isn't like having a kind of just a ticket to heaven or something. It's about God who made everything saying, I want to come and live in your life by my spirit. I want to change you. I want to transform you. I want to fill you. I want to give you what you cannot get on your own. And they discover it. And so Acts 2:41, before this amazing picture of the church that we have read, it says they believed and they were baptized. And we see them filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they're not limited to what is humanly possible because they're connected to God. And God is working amazingly. Are you taking time to connect? To abide in God. You see, and here's the challenge. You see, the battle of the spirit, as it were, is not just a battle for connection with God that so many have lost. It's also for a battle of connection with one another. You know, the enemy loves to isolate people and families. And so this is a challenge, not just to kind of get connected, but to stay connected. And that's what I want to talk about just finally as we start this new series. We need to get connected to the source of everything. It begins as we say, help. I can't love on my own. That's the place it begins. But it needs to continue. We need to stay connected. This is how fruit grows. This is where we see the beauty. Fruit takes time to grow. Amanda said that earlier, didn't she? In our cases, do you know how long it takes? It's a lifetime, yeah, to grow this fruit. But if we want to see the fruit of love, particularly, or any of these fruits consistently in our lives, we need to devote ourselves to the source of love, that is God himself, and to the context where we're to show love, which is his people. You know, the Bible says this must be your number one priority and aim. Look at Acts. Acts 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do you see this kind of twin focus? They're devoted to God, and they're devoted to his people. They knew they had to stay connected. I've got a branch here. From a cherry tree in our garden that I planted a few years. It was covered in beautiful blossom. I'm so looking forward to the cherries. It's a silly illustration, isn't it? But do you know what? We are silly sometimes. I am. Because this is what we do. It's crazy. We disconnect from God and from his people. And often, actually, we then connect to something else. You know, we put another priority, another goal, other kind of ways of coping with life. And you know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Galatians, he says, you know, actually, a life without love is just nothing. It's not even something a little. It's just nothing. You know, people on their deathbeds, they never say, bring me my degree certificates or bring me my bank statements. Bring me my medals. They never say that. What do they ask for? People they love. Because that's what we've been made for. That's what love is about. It's about relationships. You know, what was so powerful about the early church is that they combined two amazing things: this devotion to God, a love for God, and their radical devotion to God's people, the church. You know, Pastor Rick Warren writes this. He says, "Life is about love because God is love. The most important lesson he wants you to learn on earth is how to love. It is in loving that we are most like him. So love is the foundation of every command he has given us." Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Said it isn't, is it? Love's hard. Anyone found that? I mean, love is like the most wonderful thing to talk about, but it's like the hardest thing to do, especially loving in the context of his church. You know, it runs so countercultural to our kind of self-centered nature. You know, why does God want us to especially focus on loving his family? You thought about that? It's quite simple, actually. It's because God wants his family to be known for their love more than anything else. You know, one of the best expressions of love is giving. You know, giving of our time, giving of our resources. Are you devoting your time to serving and loving God's family? Are you prioritizing meeting together with God's people? It is the most precious thing you can give. Your time. You know, alongside that, we have the joy of giving our resources. We do that in our own city, as I was talking about earlier. But we do that around the world too. And I had the joy just before the pandemic of going to Ethiopia with a whole kind of youth team and just seeing some of the work that we've been supporting for years now. We had the joy of seeing you know, orphan children being schooled. We had the fantastic opportunity to see women being taken off the streets, being trained and being helped out of prostitution, given new skills. And because of our partnerships, we're now hearing about new churches being planted because of our partnership with Strong Hearts there. And Dundee sent a video to us, and we're just going to watch a little minute of it. There'll be opportunity to see more of this later, but if we can watch it, that would be great. Thanks, Mike.
Shalom, Holland Road Baptist Church. It's just a blessing and amazing to partner with you in spreading love, hope, joy, and faith here in Ethiopia. And because of our partnership, and God is doing such amazing things. A few months back, we have sent our local mission teams in southern part of Ethiopia at the valley of Omo Valley. And the area is mostly Irish tribe, and our teams has been there for over 6 months. And we make sure that the people are hearing about the name of Jesus. And our church planting teams did, by the grace of God, did share the gospel. And new souls came to Jesus. And that church, and we planted a church there, and when we planted, it was very small, and it was under a shade. And now, a lot of people are coming to Jesus, and they are giving their lives. And now we are able to build a building in that area. And we do have nearly 8 churches with the
to hear more about that. You know, one of the things he says at the end, he says, please send another team as soon as you can to come and see this work. And maybe God will enable you to be on that team. You know, love in action is such a beautiful thing. You know, we see in Acts, they gave. They gave to any that have had need. They gave so that this amazing mission of knowing and experiencing the love of God could be taken forward. So if it's so beautiful, if it's so wonderful, why do people disconnect from God and his people. Do you know, sometimes I think it's simply that we've been hurt or that we carry hurt. You know, often when we're hurting, we understandably make the mistake of withdrawing and disconnecting rather than connecting. You know, in the conversation I mentioned earlier with the person who was feeling alone, there was another person listening, and something beautiful happened. You see, as this person dared to share, you know, how they were feeling, that takes a lot of courage. As they would dare to be vulnerable, it created this moment of repentance and turnaround. As you know, I was able to express my sorrow for our failure to love, as we were to then pray together. It just brought us closer. You know, we hugged and we embraced, and then this other person I was with said to this person, said, "Why don't we go for coffee? Why don't we go for coffee together?" And all of a sudden, relationship was being formed. Love was being expressed. Things were going deeper. And it was just a little glimpse of how God's love works. You know, the power of love that enables forgiveness when there's failure, the offer of a new start. You know, the truth is we constantly fail to love as we should, don't we? Well, I do. You know, and we think, you know, God comes a bit like us. You know, he kind of gets disappointed, perhaps withdraws our failure. But God doesn't love like that. You know, he doesn't walk away. In love, he pursues us, you know, at the cross. He doesn't cut us off. He's actually cut off for us. At the cross, he doesn't kind of proclaim our guilt and our failure. He proclaims our forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? You know, he at the cross, he doesn't say, "You're finished, you're done, we're over." He says, "It's finished. It's done. Your sin is paid for. Death is over. New life, forgiveness is available." Do you know how loved you are by God? I was talking to my daughter about this, and I'm saying, I'm trying to explain the love of God, and she said, "Tell them about your love for me." Oh, I'm going to cry. Because I said to her, I love her, you know, more than I love my kids, my daughter, my son, more than I could express, it's larger than the universe. And that is how much God loves us, only more so. He loves you so much, and he wants you just to be able to just glimpse for a moment, as Becca was saying, glimpse, be able to grasp just how high and wide and deep is the love of God. And that's what happens as the Spirit comes into our lives to kind of come and show us and take a kind of head knowledge thing and enable it to become heart knowledge. During Monday morning, as a staff, we were praying and seeking God together. I'm just going to finish with this. And Helen Steele had a picture that just might help us respond today. It was simply of an artichoke. I've got a picture because I thought some of us might not know what an artichoke is. You know, the thing with artichokes is that you need to peel away the outer leaves to get to the heart of it, to get to the good, sweet bit. And, you know, the heart of things with God is really very simple. Loving God and loving one another. And yet, sometimes there's other things that stop us experiencing love and showing love, aren't there? And so as elders this week, we were just praying and just praying, God, show us those things that need to be peeled away so that we can know God's love, that need to be stripped away. And I'd just like to pray into that now for us. So I wonder if you're able, if you could stand. And I'd love just to ask for God's Spirit to come to peel away anything he wants to peel away. As we were worshiping before, I just had this picture actually it was just one person sitting kind of like under a cloud. And this might be for you. And it's like this, just you just feel like you're in darkness. And it was like the cloud just parted as the sun broke through. And I think for some people today, God just wants to break through with the sunshine of his love, the warmth of his love, the power of his love. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. You might just want to put your hands out to receive from him. Lord God, we don't want to just speak of your love and talk of your love. Lord, we need to receive your love. Lord, you didn't just speak of your love. You showed your love in the most extraordinary way. You loved us in action. You gave your life for us, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we say, Lord, we need that fresh filling. I need that fresh filling of your love. We need you to break through the clouds that so often sit over us. We need you to peel away the things that are so often stopping us receiving and showing your love. So Lord, would you be doing that now, even as we worship? Lord, would you strip away fear? You strip away superficiality? Would you strip away self-reliance? Lord, help us to bathe in your love, I pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's worship. Let's ask the Lord just to come and meet with us.